As always, we're going to start off by reviewing the very, very basics that we have in the class, okay? First of all, the PQRST, okay? P stands for?
Preview.
Q?
Quiz.
Quiz, right? We asked ourselves some basic questions. R? Three R's. Reading, recording, and reviewing, right? S is studying, and T is testing ourselves on what we have read. Now, as far as the testing goes, one of the things that I suggest that you use, you can come up with your own, though, is the three C's, okay? Include the, what's the first C? Well, comfort is one of them. Okay, good. What comfort does this passage bring to me, personally?
Conviction.
Conviction of sin. What conviction does this passage bring, if it does? And the third one?
Challenge.
The challenge. Right. Very good. Okay. Excellent. He gets the gold star today. All right. Before I go on to the materials that I have covered for today, I'd like to bring home a point that's very, very, very important for us to remember. Okay? I'm going to do my Bible study, okay? So what's the first book I'm going to have out?
Bible.
My Bible. Okay. So here's my study table. My Bible here, right? Okay. Then I may end up taking out atlases, right? Okay, a pictorial journal of the Old Testament. I've got some Bible handbooks. I've got a full-size guide to the Bible. I'm studying Romans, so I've got a couple of commentaries about the book of Romans. Oh, I've got a few more. It's always good to know the manners and the customs of the people that we're studying. So I've got sometimes words mean things that we're not familiar with. So I get figures of speech in the Bible.
That's really good.
I've got a concise, but it's good because it's so small. Okay? It's a concise guide to the Bible. Now, I've got a book of art from the Bible. Okay, the art scenes depicting different scenes in the Bible. So I've got that. Okay, I've got some more commentaries. Okay, and I've got some specific studies in the Bible. I'm all set to start studying, right? What happened?
Where'd the Bible go?
Where did the Bible go? Everything that comes between me and my Bible down here someplace, anything that comes between me and God is an idol. God doesn't want any strange gods before us. Okay? I need to remember always, 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 and sometimes it's easy to get distracted by this stuff. Did Peter, when he wrote the first letter to the, when he wrote his first letter that we've been looking at, did he have chapters and verses in it?
No.
Who added that in there? Man. Okay. Did Peter write marginal notes in his letter?
No.
Who wrote that?
Man.
Did Peter end up writing footnotes?
No.
Okay, all of these things can be great aids. They can be tools. Last week we looked at concordances and dictionaries and Vine's expository dictionary and all of that. Okay, we can lose sight of what we want to do and we end up with this. I have to remember when I'm studying the Bible, I want to hear from one person, only one, and that's from God. I want God to speak to me. I can never let any of this come between God and me. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, okay, reminds us that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. You know what happens? I can memorize every single one of these books and be useless to God. Okay? And God won't work in my life. Okay? So I need to keep going. These books are tools. Okay? They can be helpful to me, but I can't let them distract me from what I'm doing. Today we're going to look at some more tools. Okay? And the reason why we have these tools is we all learn differently. Some of us want to examine things in very minute detail, so God will give inspired some people to write some commentaries. So like this. For instance, okay, this is a classic set of from Donald Barnhouse Gray on the book of Romans. And what he'll do is he'll take one verse and he explains it out and refers to other verses. I'll pass these around to you. I'm not saying to go out and buy these, but just remember, these can be a tool. If you like really looking at things minutely, this might be one of the tools that you'd consider using. These are four volumes of the same book. So it goes with all of these. Matthew Henry's commentary. This is also online, okay? And you can look at this, and again, it looks at a verse and it explains it, but it is one man's opinion about the scripture, okay? It might not be the point that God wants me to understand, the mode that God wants to use in my life. I will leave all of these books up there. I'll try to explain a little bit about each of them, because from time to time you'll hear references to different types of the Bible. Okay. This. Okay. This is a little handbook of the Bible. Okay, and it gives a quick glance at each of the chapters that are in the Bible. Okay? That may be all that you want for a little bit of background information. You may not want to even use this, and that is fine. That's good, okay? Don't let this get in the way or keep you from reading the Word of God. The ultimate goal is to hear from God, okay? So this is a little Bible handbook. You can just pass them around and look at them. Some people, okay, are into art or music, all right? As you read the Word of God, and God speaks to you from His Word, He may inspire you to write a little poem if you're inclined to poetry. He may incline you, like Tim upstairs, okay, has written some songs. Why? God has spoken to him through His Word. And that's what we're looking for. So you may do that from time to time. And that is great. That's an encouragement. That's an encouragement for the body. Somebody else may be into anthropology, and you want to study what people were like at different times. Okay, with manners and customs of the Bible. Okay, that could be an aid for you, too. I've got more commentary. This here, okay, is a guide for the Bible by Dr. Harold Wilmington. Again, know your biases. Okay, this man here is a Baptist. He teaches at Liberty University. Or he did. The big accusation against this man here is he made the Bible too easy for people to understand. And I love it. I go to this book a lot. It's a guide for the whole Bible. Part of the Bible has doctrines in the back of the Bible also, so that you can look at doctrines and you can understand what's going on as far as different types of doctrines. Okay. Some of us may be into languages, linguistics, and things like that. Here's a book called Figures of Speech in the Bible. Last week after class we were talking about it. Somebody said, oh, that's an idiom. I remember we talked about similes earlier and stuff like that. Okay, well, here's a book that does that with different words in the Bible. If that's where you're your real interest and where your desire is. If that's going to encourage you in your study of the scriptures, then you go to a book like this, okay, and that will help you out. But not everybody's going to be looking at this. This, for most people, this is going to become a huge distraction, okay? And that's not what we are looking for. Okay. What I would like to do is spend a couple of minutes this morning. Hey, down at the bottom of my pile, guess what I found? My Bible. Isn't that great? This is from Dr. Harold Wilmington in one of his works. And the reason why we want to stick with the Bible, he wrote this thing, and I really enjoy this. A beautiful palace. The Bible is a beautiful palace built of 66 blocks of solid marble, the 66 books. In the first chapter of Genesis, we enter the vestibule filled with mighty acts of creation. The vestibule gives way access to the law courts, the five books of Moses, through which we come to the picture gallery of the historical books. Here we find hung upon the walls scenes of battlefields, representations of heroic deeds, and portraits of eminent men belonging to the early days of the world's history. Beyond the picture gallery, we find the philosopher's chamber, the book of Job, passing through which we enter the music room, the book of Psalms, where we listen to the grandest strains that ever fell on human ears. Then we come to the business office, the book of Proverbs, where right in the center of the room stands facing us the motto, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. From the business office, we pass into the chapel, Ecclesiastes, or the Song of Solomon, with the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley, and all manner of fine perfume and fruit and flowers and singing birds. Finally, we reach the observatory. The prophets, with their telescopes fixed on near and distant stars and directed toward the bright and morning star that was soon to rise. Crossing that court, we come to the audience chamber of the king, the Gospels, where we find four vivid, lifelike portraits of the king himself. Next, we enter the workroom of the Holy Spirit, the Acts of the Apostles. And beyond that, the correspondence room, the epistles, where we see Peter and Paul and James and John and Jude busy at their desks. Before leaving, we stand a moment in the outside gallery, the Revelation, where we look upon some striking picture of the judgments to come and the glories to be revealed, concluding with an awe-inspiring picture of the throne room of the king. That, I think, is the best description I can have. It's why I want to keep pointing to the Bible, okay? All else can be distractions, and we want to be aware of that. While we're talking about distractions, sometimes when I have a question, I want to take a lazy way out to come up with an answer, okay? So I may end up going up to somebody else, and I'll say, hey, what is this? And, you know, everybody, we all have our own opinions, and sometimes somebody will get off and they'll start quoting one scripture after another, after another, after another, and it may not follow because he may not, that person that I'm talking with may not be using the scriptures properly, may not have a proper understanding, may not have gone through the work themselves to come up with the answers. So beware of just asking somebody else. If I get a question, I want to go to God. I want to know from God what it is that he has for me to learn from his word, how he wants me to apply it in my own life. Okay, so I just wanted to make sure to emphasize that because it can be easy, especially after last week when we started to pour into concordances. And man, that's not my thing. I just can't do it. It is my thing, okay? And I love doing that. So I can get lost for a whole day doing one word study from a from the thing. But I have
those are wrong.
Are they wrong? It's wrong if I lose sight of what the Bible is teaching me as a whole. I need the whole picture. A concordance can help me understand what one little portion of a verse or one word can end up meaning. Okay? But I can't just rely on that. If I lose, at the end of all this time that I'm studying, I need to ask myself, what's the conviction of sin that this brings to my life? What's the challenge to relationship with Jesus and with other people? And what is the comfort that this passage brings me? If I don't do that, I've missed the whole boat. Okay? I get on to the Titanic. And I don't want to be on the Titanic. Okay? I hope I've clarified that. So that there is a role, there is a purpose. You can, these books can be helpful. But please, 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 don't sink in sinking sand by depending on these at the expense of the Word of God. Keep the Word of God on top of everything else, and keep our focus on that. Okay. Oh, somebody reminded me last week that I had given a challenge a couple of weeks ago, and I forgot to ask if anybody followed up on the challenge. Okay. Anybody remember what the challenge was? Okay. Next week, when you come to church, and you see somebody say, this is what I learned from the Word of God. This is the comfort that God brought to me. Or this is the challenge that God brought to me in my life. And I would hope, okay, that you begin to do that with one another, because that's how we're going to grow. So what happens is when we do that, the person that is that loves art, we'll end up sharing with somebody else that says, you know what I just read in such and such a passage? And that opens up that passage for somebody else about this picture that they painted, either in their mind or that they have seen. And they'll share that, and that becomes an encouragement. And somebody else will say, yeah, well, that reminds me, you know, I wrote this little jingle that helps me to remind that, okay? That's how we learn as children, if you remember. Remember the old song, those of you that have been around for a while, okay? The B-I-B-L-E, oh, that's the book for me. Remember that? Okay, why? Because that helps us to remember. And if that helps you to remember what God is teaching you, use it, okay? Some people, it will be the note card, and it's just a big help for me, because I'm starting to lose my mind, I think. But sometimes what happens is some people filling out 3x5 note cards, filling out forms or something like that, that's going to be a distraction for them. So if that's a distraction for you, don't do it. Some people will say, you know what, I just meditate on that during the course of the day. That is great. If you can do that without these aids, you're about three steps ahead of me, because I need those 3x5 note cards to help remind me of what's going on. But when we get together, we can talk about that, okay? We can talk about the manners and customs. Ralph Zazula is one man, because he's a Hebrew. So he understands some of the customs that the Hebrew people have and that they follow better than I do. So he's an encouragement for me when I talk to him about this thing. But we always keep the conversation pointed towards Christ, okay? I would like to take one item from all of these tools today and to talk a little bit about it, okay? And, oh, if you'd open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. This is going back to some stuff that we've already looked at, but I want to look at it in a little bit different way. Okay. And these are also some of the questions that came on our pretest, if you remember. Okay, 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Ah, Pontus, Galatia, Asia. Are those the towns just on the other side of Wellesley? Huh? No. Asia. Oh, that's going to be someplace south of China. Right? Maybe not. See, what happens is I came with some locations that, from where I'm brought up and the way I've been taught, you know, I don't necessarily understand what these are. A lot of your Bibles will have in the back of them maps, okay? And then the handouts that you have today, like the third page in, there's a map. Okay. Now, everybody can find Italy, right? Remember the boot from geography class? Okay. If you look just to the right of the bottom of the boot, you're going to see Asia. You see it? Asia is right here, directly below the Black Sea. So the letter of 1 Peter was written to the elect people that were scattered throughout Asia. Now, if you look just to the right of Asia and up a little bit, you'll see Galatia. Okay, everybody find it?
Yeah.
Okay. What's the other one?
Bithynia.
Okay, Bithynia. Okay. Yeah, above Galatia. Yeah, okay. So now, I guess that the Asia that they're talking about here is not south of China, is it? It's in the Middle East. Okay. So this book was written to believers, okay, primarily Jewish believers, who were now being scattered throughout this region. And Peter wrote to them to encourage them, the letter that was come to be known as 1 Peter. And we've got it now. That makes a big difference as to how I understand everything that's written in this book. Because they had different culture. They had different manners. They had different ways of living than what I do now. All right? They didn't get into their car and quickly hop over to the mall or whatever. You know, they had to take quite a bit of time either walking or traveling on basic animals. So the whole family structure was set up differently than what I may be familiar with. So that might be helpful to me as I'm starting to read the book of Peter to keep a picture of that in mind. Other people will say, no, Bob, that's a distraction for me. I don't want it. Well, if it's a distraction for you, don't do it. Okay? Specifically ask God what he wants to reveal to you about that. And some of the books that I passed out have, you know, different information about this region. This is another thing, too. Oh, I wonder. Let me see. We're just to the... Just to the left of Asia, okay, you see Thessalonica?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Does that sound familiar? Thessalonica? There were some letters in the epistles that are written to the people in that area, okay? Now, a lot of these letters that were written, it wasn't like I write a letter, Dear Vinny, okay? How you doing? How's it going? Blah, blah, blah. Okay? What the authors in the Old Testament quite often did is they wrote what's called circular letters. So I may write that Peter may have written this letter to the people, okay, in Pontus, Galatia, Bithynia, and those areas that we were just talking about, all right? But they'll pass the letter on. Sometimes they'll be transcribed by some of the people that are there, and they'll bring it in their travels. When they're going to trade, when they're going to market, when they're going to end up seeing other people, they'll bring the letters with them so that they can be an encouragement. So the letter to the Thessalonians, okay, may have become a letter that was transcribed by believers and brought to other believers as a way of encouraging. Remember we said we want to encourage one another when we come to church? Hey, what's God been saying to you? This is what he's been saying to me and when I've been reading, when I've been studying. So what's he been saying to you? And that's an encouragement. Well, can you imagine? You don't know some of these people, but now what they're doing is they're sending these letters as an encouragement one to another. And so you'll hear in some of Paul's letters, okay, don't forget the people in this area because they have needs and we're taking up a collection and when we come, we want you to be generous for them. And that's why, okay? We all in this together. So Christ, one body, Christ, one church, Christ died for the church, okay, which is all of us, okay? But then there's also the local assembly, okay? Crossroads Community Church. Christ died for Crossroads Community Church. And he wants us to encourage one another and to encourage people from other churches. We did have some visitors in one of these classes, okay, that came in. They saw the signboard out front, and they came in from Hyde Park. One week we had four people here from Hyde Park. They were coming through and wanted to, because they saw the Word of God was going to be, you know, we're going to be looking at the Word of God. And they came in for a class. So that's great. For me, that was an encouragement when I saw them. It's an encouragement for me when you're here and you ask questions and you have make comments and stuff. Okay? So that's just one way that some of the resources can be an assistance to. Okay, on the next page, we've got a little bit of footnotes and how footnotes in your Bible can differ greatly. Okay. At the top, okay, it's Life Lessons from the Life Principles Bible. Okay, and the top, this is from Charles Stanley, G, R, and W, okay, and what 1 Peter 5:2, 5:7, and 5:8 are. Those are his comments on it. Okay. Another book that's recovery-oriented will have different types of footnotes. So sort of the bottom one, okay, footnote number two, Serenity for Every Day, talks about those that are familiar with the 12 steps. Okay, it's got a scripture reading for you. Then it's got the step, and it's got a meditation that explains that step. Now, if you notice, the two of them are very, very different about how they're explaining some of the same passages of scripture. Okay? Then there's a daily encouragement. Footnote number three on the next page. I'm going to let you read these on your own. We're not going to go over every single one of them, okay, in detail. Then there's the footnote number four from the Liberty Annotated Study Bible. And you'll notice that this spends more time than any of the others so far, okay, referring you to other scriptures. Okay. Footnote number five from the Scofield Reference Bible. Has numerous scripture references in that. Okay? Then, footnote number six on the following page, okay, is Matthew Henry's online commentary. Okay, yeah. How deep is God calling you to get into a particular passage? I may have a question. I don't know, looking for an obvious button. Okay, you see one, James 4, 7, and 10. Okay, just before that, it talks about humbling ourselves to God under his hand. It's the next way to deliverance and exaltation, patience under his chastisements and submission to his pleasure, repentance, prayer, and hope, and his mercy will engage his help and release in due time. Okay, it says a lot. But is that taken away from God wants me to learn in 1 Peter? If it is, I don't want to be going there. Okay? If it's something that you're interested in, if something that you have a question, you want to find out a little bit more information, if it's going to draw you closer to the passage that you're reading and God is speaking to you about, then go ahead and do it. Okay? Go for it. Okay? Is that sufficiently clear? Can somebody at each table sacrifice one note card, please, and have your names? Okay, please, just pass them around so they can all say whatever they do. Check them out. Vinny, know how many people are here. Okay. Does any of what I just said make sense?
Yes.
Does it confuse it? Does it discourage it? Because the big thing that can happen is this Bible study can feel like such an overwhelming, daunting task. Now I start throwing in all of these Bibles, these footnotes, these aids, and everything else, and it's just so overwhelming, I say, the same for me. and then I put the Bible away. I don't study the Bible. And that's not what God wants. God wants me to be in His Word. But He wants to make sure that this book is my focus for Him at all times, okay? This is what's going to count. This is what's going to draw me closer to Him. This is what's going to reveal to me what it is that He wants me to do. And an interesting thing is when you come to the scriptures, sometimes when you're meditating on something or thinking about something, see, God knows what's going on within our lives. And I'll give you an example of something that just happened as recently as 3 o'clock this morning. Okay? 3 o'clock this morning, I woke up, okay, from a sound sleep. And it was one thing on my mind, and that was, God was telling me, how do I bring apart the point that the most important thing that I've got to do is focus on the Bible. And that's when he revealed to me at that point, he woke me up at that point, and he said, oh yeah, just stack everything on top of the Bible right here on the table. And people are going to lose track of the Bible, okay? Those are all my idols if I don't stay focused on God. So what happens is when I'm reading God's Word and I'm truly seeking to ask God to reveal Himself to me, He may just wake you up at night. He may end up giving you an answer, God bless you, giving you an answer to a question you've got, a concern you have. He may bring you comfort about something that's troubling you. He may end up saying, you know what, I would really like you to do this for someone else. He may reveal Himself to you. God's never going to call me on my cell phone. Okay, well, He could if He wanted to. But I don't know where He plugs it in to recharge it. I do know where He plugs this in to recharge me. And that's what it is. So you never know. As soon as I figured God is going to speak to me in this way, this time, and because He did it once, this is where He's going to do it all the time. I start developing rituals. I start regulations, rules, I become rigid in what I'm doing, and the Word of God loses its life in my heart. I have to ask God every day, reveal Yourself to me, show me someone, show me something about myself, show me how You want to draw me closer to You, and God will always find a way to end up doing it. And like I said, last night, 3 o'clock this morning, He woke me up, and all I could say at that point, it was so vivid, so real to me, is, thank You, God. That's from You, that's not from me. But He knew it's a concern that I had, and He revealed Himself. And the other thing is, God is never early, God's never late, He's always on time. Okay? So He didn't reveal this to me when I started to prepare the class. He didn't reveal it to me after I get home today. He revealed it to me last night during the night, so that I could do it. And that's when He also called to mind this a beautiful palace from Dr. Wilmington about the palace. And that's the perfect example, because all these other things are trappings, and if I'm not careful, those trappings can become a trap. Okay, I don't want to get trapped. I don't want to get caught as a trap. Okay, any questions? Any comments about any of that?
Quickly, that Wilmington book, is that the one at the bottom of the Bible handbooks? The one that you just got that passage from about the palace?
Okay. It says Wilmington Herald as a footnote.
Yeah.
Wilmington's Guide to the Bible, Wheaton, Illinois, Tyndale House Publishers.
Yep. That's where
palace.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bruce.
No, one thing that I've found as I get the Word and ask the Word to speak to me, as you suggest that you do, is that He'll highlight something. He'll highlight a verse and a couple of verses. That's my message for the day to where I am.
Right.
And that's the work of the Spirit combining with the Word. It's the two that go together.
Absolutely.
And then if I have a question like I did this morning, then I go get out some reference books to see if I got it right.
Uh-huh. Excellent.
That's what I think what you're suggesting.
Beautiful. Absolutely. Yes. Which is another point while we're on this whole subject. Okay, where do I go to start reading the Word of God? Okay. We at this church are so blessed. Because if you have your bulletin handy, you'll notice on the front of the bulletin, okay, it says Ephesians 6, 1 to 9. And the title of the message is going to be presented this morning. That same information is found on the church website when you get the Crossroads connection. So if you want to know, how do I get ready for Sunday morning service? Okay? Look at that information online before you get here and read it and say, God, speak to me. Because, you know, we're blessed here with the preaching that we get. But there's some churches you go, and, oh, my goodness, you're just wondering where the preacher's coming from, what he's doing. And I always have to ask God, give me something to go. I recently visited a church, not that I'm intending to change or anything like that. I was just visiting some friends. Okay. I walked in there, and I thought I was at a disco. The flashing lights and the docking, and I said, oh my goodness, what am I doing here? And I did. I literally had to stop in my track and say, God, I can't be judgmental. Okay? God, I need you to speak to me through the message today and the worship that's here today. I need this blessing right now. And God calmed all of that from me. I went to another church while back to visit, and it happened to be Youth Sunday. Now, the high school students did everything at the church. I mean, from leading in prayer for the church's needs, they recognized those people that were graduating from high school, and they had their pictures up, and the only thing that an adult did during the entire service that was visible to everybody, okay, was pray for those that were graduating and moving on. The teens, come on, what's a 17-year-old kid going to end up teaching me, right? I'm 65, right? And I listened to one of the most polished messages that I have ever heard. He was tremendous. He just spoke to my heart. He knew it, and his message was all very, very personal. So God, no matter what situation I am in, no matter where I'm at, if I ask God, speak to me. God wants that more than anything. He wants me to ask him, speak to me, and he will. Okay? Another true confession time. That's before we go. In terms of the reading for this week, we're going to be looking at chapter 4. When I was asked to teach this class, I had told Vinny, no, I don't want to really do it. I knew how much work it was going to be to put it all together, so I said, no. Then I spoke with Ron, and he asked me, and I said, well, I need time to think and pray about it. So I did. I was doing my regular daily devotions at the time, and God ended up giving me 1 Peter chapter 4, okay, and verse 10, and it just popped out at me. Each one should use whatever gifts he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Okay. Do you realize, when I get saved, God gave me some spiritual gifts to use. He gave you. We each have at least one, and oftentimes more than one, spiritual gift to use to build up the body. The thing that really hit me about that verse this time, okay, is when I'm using that gift, I'm administering God's grace. How often do we talk about God and his grace and what God... Do you know what? Every time you use your gift to build up the body, to encourage a believer, okay, that's administering God's grace. What greater privilege can we have than to administer God's grace to another person? Just this morning, I was talking with somebody out on the steps. I didn't get into the prayer meeting this morning. And one person came in. Oh, I'm so happy. I need to talk to you. I need to tell you something that happened. Yes. And we had a word of prayer right on the steps as we were coming into the church this morning. We never know where it is that God is going to use us or when God's going to use us. So by staying in His Word, by continually reading day in and day out, okay? Hopefully, as we've been starting to get into the pattern by doing our homework assignments, we'll end up learning. Now, at the bottom of this, you'll notice extra credit. Use any one of the outside references discussed. And how does this clarify your thought? If God doesn't tell you, go and use this reference or go and use that, then don't do it. Because if you try to force it, okay, you're being actually disobedient to God. Okay? If God, that should have been worded more carefully, and I apologize for that. It should be, if God has called you to use one of these outside resources, then go ahead and look at it. Okay? If He hasn't called you to do it, then don't do it. Okay? We want to be there because we want to build one another up. Okay? All right. Before we go, we want to...
Was the homework assignment that next to the last page?
Yes. Okay. Let's preview chapter 4. Okay? Preview. What are the... According to the NIV online Bible authors. What are the two main thoughts in chapter 4?
Living for God.
Living for God.
Suffering for being a Christian.
And suffering for being a Christian. I don't know about you, but I often ask, you know, why am I going through this? Why do I have to? And I don't understand. That'll be a great, great passage and hopefully a big encouragement to you because there is a reason for our suffering. Suffering just doesn't happen. Suffering doesn't happen just because of coincidence. Suffering doesn't happen because, that's life and then you die. No. If God allows suffering into my life, He's got a reason for it. And I find that when I start to work my way out of suffering or trouble or difficulty, temptations, trials, whatever, the way I start working out is not, why me, God, which is the poor pity me kind of syndrome, but when I ask God, okay, what is it that you want me to learn going through this? Okay? It's like Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, okay? The shadow of death. It doesn't say death. Sometimes it may seem like I'm going through death. Maybe I have to die to some things in my life. But when God wants me to go through, God allows suffering to come into my life and trials and tribulations, there's a purpose for it. And I look back, and in chapter 4 will encourage us to look back to Jesus who suffered for us. Jesus didn't have to suffer. I mean, Jesus had it made. He was in heaven. Okay? Jesus created the world, created the universe, created time. Okay? But Jesus took on the form of man and suffered and died. Okay? What can I learn from Jesus' suffering in the midst of what I'm going through right now? And if we keep reading through our scriptures, then we'll understand what it is that God wants us to learn. The verse I love in this chapter is verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you. Okay? So if it's not strange, that means it's common. Okay? 1 Corinthians 10:13 talks about our temptation. God will not allow you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape so that you can make it right for it. Okay? So there are reasons why God allows us to suffer. What lesson does God want me to learn? And in every case, part of that answer is going to end up being God is drawing me or wants to draw me closer to Him. And when people suffer in the world, they either become bitter or they become better. Okay? And our job as believers, when we find suffering in our lives, is how can I be better? How can I be drawn closer to God? How is God calling me more and more into His arms, into His embrace, into His love, into His compassion, His mercy, His kindness? Because after I've gone through whatever it is I'm going through, take it to the bank. If you've learned the lesson well, God will be the reality of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Okay? He's going to want us to comfort someone else with the same comfort that he has given us. And when we do that, okay, when we comfort somebody else, we are administering God's grace, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
2
Corinthians chapter 1. And so I think it's verses 3 to 8. And thank you for asking that question while we're looking for that verse, okay? Whenever someone says a verse and they don't give you the exact address for the verse, ask them for it. Because that way there we're sure that somebody's not just giving you a line of baloney and leading you astray. Okay, so 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Okay, we'll start in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. Okay? So when I go to comfort somebody else, it's not my comfort that I'm giving. It's not the world's comfort. It's Christ's comfort overflowing. Okay? I think it's Luke 7:47 ends up talking out of the overflow of a man's heart, so he speaks. So if I'm filled with God's love and compassion after having gone through some suffering, and now somebody comes alongside and needs some comfort, it's not going to be me. It's not going to be my words. It's going to be God's love overflowing to them through me, administering God's grace. Anyone have any questions? Any comments? Any considerations? Can I have these cards here, please?
We have some more down there. One, two, three, four, five. I think we got more than five people, though.
We should have those.
There's one
back here. Oh, here's one. No, we signed one with Jerry Weisbeck.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
good.
Mm-hmm.
That looks a little better.
Okay. Now, as a practical point before we wrap up today, next week, Teen Challenge Men's Choir is going to be here. And I get excited when you come and see it. I have tremendous respect for that ministry. It's also the ministry, when I saw the sign that's on the signboard now, 3 years ago, that's the message that drew me in to Crossroads Community Church. And Vinny mentioned that the following week he's going to be preaching a message on forgiveness. And I said, ooh, I think I need to hear that. And then when Vinny was preaching, he says, well, when Bill comes back, he's going to be starting a series on restoration. And I said, God could not have made it any more clear to me that this is where he wanted me to be. So I came. So I celebrate the next week will be my third year with Crossroads. I'm just so grateful that God has brought me here. So we're going to have the outdoor service, and then 10 minutes after the service finishes, we'll come in here to have our last session for this course. So think of any other questions that you have, any concerns that you may have, and we'll go from there. Okay? So next week, 10 minutes after the outdoor service, we'll be in here to finish up. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a good week.
Thank you.
Thank you.